What we are going to talk about today is the state of Islam in the world, a very big subject. We first have to ask, what is Islam? Islam is the world's simplest and clearest religion. It is a recognition of one God, Allah, who is total and complete master of reality. It is a religion that has a vision of the future, a vision of Judgment Day that goes out for millions and millions of years. It is a religion that has clear social laws that include a very clear commitment to ideas of social justice. Obviously, we cannot completely sum up Islam in a short period of time and cover every issue, but these are some basic points that need to be understood. Muhammad is the only major figure in world religious history who we know exists. The factual documentation for the existence of Jesus is simply not there. It's just not. But we know for sure that Muhammad existed. Also, the religious political revolution of Islam in the 2 centuries that followed the life of Muhammad is the greatest religious political revolution in history. To understand Islam, you need to understand that religious political revolution. You need to understand the world in terms of the 7th century, not the 21st century. And in the 7th century, you had a version of Christianity that was completely tyrannical and completely intolerant. And frankly, since Christianity came to power in the late Roman Empire, its rule was an endless series of persecutions and also an endless series of theological civil wars over self-contradictions in the Bible about the Trinity. When Islam came in, it was a force of civil liberties and political and intellectual liberation. Today, people might have a hard time believing that, but that's what it was, that the murderous and crazy persecutions of the Christians ended. Jews and Christians were allowed to practice their religion and live in peace, with the sole criteria that they had to pay a certain tax, which really wasn't all that high under Islamic rule. It is also a fact that the a lot of people don't understand this, that Islam saw itself and defined itself as the logical continuation of Christianity. Many Americans would be astounded to know that the Quran speaks highly of Jesus, speaks highly of Moses, but obviously denies the fact, the claim by the Christians that Jesus was somehow God and then got killed and so on and so forth and all that. They just simply s portray Jesus as a prophet, as Moses was a prophet, and so on and so forth. So the evolution of people under areas of Islamic rule in the 7th and 8th centuries from Christianity to Islam was extremely understandable. The majority of the world's Christians converted to Islam. People have such a Western racist view of medieval history. The center of civilization was the Mediterranean, was the South. Places like Paris and London if they could even be considered towns, were basically just small towns or glorified villages. The great centers of civilization were in the east. The Muslim civilization built an enormous city at Baghdad that was, in many ways, the wonder of the world. So civilization was in the east, the centers of population were in the east and the Mediterranean area. So under Islam, you had the overwhelming majority of the world's Christians convert to Islam and really never look back. There's only one country which ever converted back, and that was Spain, which was assisted by the Spanish Inquisition and other horrors. So that's a fact, and you have to come to terms with that fact. So within 200 years of the time of Muhammad, you had a religious political revolution that stretched all the way from Morocco and Spain on the Atlantic Ocean to the towering peaks of the Himalayas in India, and also began to spread very quickly into Central Asia, such as Afghanistan, Kazakhstan, so on and so forth, those areas today, where Islam superseded Buddhism. So this is what happened, and you need to think in terms of that. You cannot overemphasize the fact that Islam was a force of civilization. The concept of Allah was very compatible with concepts from Plato and Aristotle and other thoughts about a supreme God. Doesn't mean that Plato and Aristotle are Islam, doesn't mean that Islam is Plato and Aristotle. You have to be careful about these comments, but there was a definite synergy, and that was a key point about what happened. Islam was a center of science and learning, indeed probably the preeminent center of science and learning outside of Tang Dynasty China. So the so-called Dark Ages were indeed very dark in Europe, but they were not dark in the world of Islam in terms of civilization. They were not dark in terms of the civilization of the Tang Dynasty in China. And one of the great battles of world history was the Battle of Talas in 750, where the armies of the Caliph defeated the armies of the Chinese Emperor, forever changing the religious balance of power in Central Asia. So what went wrong? Because Islam is obviously not in good shape today. We don't claim to be able to know the answer, but we do want to go over a number of trends in history and just document some things for further thought. And the purpose of this lecture is to encourage other people to look into this, particularly people in the Islamic world. So Islam was probably the dominant religion on the planet up to, say, about 1500, 1600. In that period, you had a geopolitical revolution of enormous significance, specifically the conquest of the Americas. They were so-called New World. They weren't new. They'd been there all along. The Europeans were too dumb to know that. But they conquered these enormous continents. And in the case of America and Canada in the north, you had systematic campaigns of genocide to eliminate or drastically reduce the local populations and replace them with white Europeans coming from Europe, a process that would catch the attention of Hitler, who was inspired to look to America for an example for what he planned to do in his planned conquest of the Soviet Union. So this was an enormous geopolitical change. However, as late as 1700, you had two enormously powerful Muslim states. You had the Ottoman Empire in the west, and you had the Islamic Mughal Empire in India. The latter is probably a force of importance in history that is simply not fully understood. Now, in the 18th century, the Mughal Empire in India fell apart. And that was an enormous disaster for Islam. Now, we're not going to get into, for our Hindu friends, whether the Muslim rule in India was good or bad or whatever. The point is that we're discussing this purely in terms of power and so on. So at that, they fell apart, and then in World War I, the British imperialists smashed and destroyed the Ottoman Empire, and Ataturk, a very brilliant leader, saved Turkey from being completely destroyed by the Western imperialists, but he was representing a kind of spirit of the age in the Islamic world. He was a secularist, and he de-emphasized Islam in his rule of Turkey. After World War II, socialism tended to dominate a good part of the Islamic world. The greatest leader for the average Muslim person was Nasser in Egypt. Places like Lebanon were centers of intellectual thought, and so on and so forth. However, in 1967, Nasser sustained a catastrophic and humiliating defeat at the hands of Israel. In 1973 and 74, the power of Saudi Arabia became enormously preeminent in the Islamic world because of the OPEC revolution, which turned Saudi Arabia into one of the greatest centers of wealth in the world. In 1979, an event took place which would cast a very long shadow over the future of Islam, which is a religious revolution, a Shiite revolution organized by an intolerant maniac called the Ayatollah Khomeini, who overthrew and replaced the Shah. For the first time on the world stage, you had an Islamic political movement, and the result was electric around the world. At that time, there was a violent takeover of Mecca by some maniacs. And this frightened the combined with competition from Iran, this frightened the Saudi government and caused them to move in a much more intolerant direction. So that was not a productive development. Now, to understand modern Islam, you have to understand Saudi Arabia, where, due to a series of intrigues by the West, in World War I, an extreme religious movement, the Wahhabis, seized control of Saudi Arabia and seized control of the holy places. So what the dominant form of Islam in the world today is the Wahhabi Saudi Islam, which is a very intolerant form of Islam, and this is not a good thing. But you need to understand that if you want to try to understand what's going on. Now, these are huge subjects, and we can't totally do them justice. We're just outlining some things here for thought. So where to for Islam? Well, first place, we need to understand where Islam is. To most Americans, Islam is Arabs, right? Those are the Muslims, the Arabs. Well, actually, Arabs are a minority of the world of global Islam. The largest Islamic populations in the world are east of the Persian Gulf. The largest Islamic populations in the world today are Indonesia first, Pakistan second, the Muslim population of India third, Bangladesh fourth, and fifth, Nigeria. Egypt is only the sixth largest Islamic population of the world. So the center of gravity for global Islam today is in the East. It is in the East. And we submit that what goes on in Pakistan could be of extreme religious significance. Now, there are a lot of, in world history and the study of religion, there's always a dialectic between power politics and so on and religion. And it often isn't pretty the way that sorts itself out. Since the end of the Cold War, the world has been plagued by an out-of-control American imperialism. And thus, the debate about Islam has been colored by that, particularly because of the attack on New York and Washington by people who claim to be Muslims on September 11th, 2001. Unfortunately, that has led a lot of Muslims to try to portray Islam as to disassociate themselves with acts like that as being a red, white, and blue version of Islam and so on. And there's been the emergence of so-called Islamic moderates, and we're not against moderation in Islam, but a lot of these so-called Islamic moderates are in fact puppets of the American government and are paid for by the American government. So that's further colored the debate about who is whom in the Islamic world. At the same time, the moral credibility of Saudi Arabia has been severely damaged by Mohammed bin Salman, the in effect acting dictator of Saudi Arabia. MBS, as he is called, has put through some reforms which overall could be considered positive, of controlling the religious lunatics in Saudi Arabia. However, he is not seen by street-level Muslims as a moral leader, particularly due to his close association with Donald Trump, as well as the very unsavory assassination of Mr. Khashoggi in the embassy in Turkey. So Islam today is kind of adrift. Islam in some ways is looks like Germany after the end of the 30 Years' War, a collection of states, none of which really has a critical mass to be a world superpower like the Ottoman Empire, like the Mughal Empire in India. So there are issues that need to be resolved, such as the status of women in Islam, and we're not going to get into the taking a direct position on that, other than stating that it is our opinion that women should be given greater rights in many Muslim countries. And it is not at all clear to us that the repressive policies against women are indeed endorsed by the Quran. That is our opinion. Some people won't like that, but that is our opinion. But it is also our opinion that this is something for the world of Islam to sort out, not for Westerners to come in and start shooting people up, bombing people, hitting people with drone attacks to supposedly improve them, and so on and so forth. This is for intellectual, moral, and spiritual debate inside Islam. A final point to think about in the evolution of world religion is whatever happened to Buddhism in India. Buddhism was born in India. It is our view that Islam's theological worldview proved itself superior to Buddhism, and that is why Buddhism, the Buddhists of India, converted to Islam as they did in Central Asia. But no one knows for sure, but that's an interesting point about how if Islam could get back to basics, get back to its basic message, it could offer a positive vision for the world. We're not going to get into statements like Islam is a religion of peace or whatever. We're not sure which religion is a religion of peace. War is a legitimate form of Islam. There's no question about it. We're not saying that's good or bad. But we are saying that there are positive aspects of Islam in terms of its clear theology of monotheism, its clear vision of social justice, its clear vision of a judgment day to come. So these are our thoughts, and hopefully they have helped some people out there, particularly in the Muslim world itself, to explore where they want to go. A ground zero for Islam in conclusion today is Pakistan, where you have a very creative leader, Imran Khan, where you have women's rights activists debating the role of women in Islam, and you also have very conservative people, and in many cases very dangerous lunatics, violent lunatics, but it's an interesting nexus as to where the future of Islam might be decided. We're not saying it will be or won't be, but that is an interesting point. So hopefully this lecture has helped the world Muslims and creative people define their future as the 21st century unfolds.